Good morning, everybody. Well, actually, good afternoon. It's about 10 minutes past noontime here in Maine. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's all over it. ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. That's our website. And if you go over there, you'll see the brand new issue of our online journal, literally brand new, just went up today, Equity and Access, it's called. Just big magazine icon there in the center of the page. Just click through and enjoy about 95 pages of advertising messages from great sponsors and fabulous editorial with a big, big article about female leadership in the industry. So please check it all out at ace-ed.org. And speaking of female leadership in the industry, we have a wonderful person with us today. Dr. Beth Rabbit is here. Beth is the Chief Executive Officer of our good friends, the Learning Accelerator, but I've never met her. So, Beth, I'm Larry, and I mentioned Maine because I have this odd feeling you're in Maine, too.
I am. Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. I'm based in Portland.
Do you know where Cornish is? Have you ever been to Cornish?
I know where it is. I've not been there.
Well, then you have to come and try Krista's restaurant, Bay Haven Lobster Pound. We're about 35, 40 minutes from you in Portland, right down Route 25. And that concludes
All right.
Chamber of Commerce conversation for today. It's good to talk to a fellow Mainer. Okay. Beth, tell us what you do at the Learning Accelerator, what they do.
Yeah, I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Learning Accelerator. We are a national nonprofit that envisions a world in which every student gets the effective, engaging, and equitable education they need to reach their full and unique potential. Our organization works nationally to understand emerging innovative approaches in education, to do sense-making, and to capture that work such that other educators working in different contexts can understand and adapt and bring in new approaches to their work as well. We're kind of work as a learning engine, if you will, across the K-12 space to understand what's working. Yep.
You are in a learning engine, the Learning Accelerator, learningaccelerator.org. And I'm talking to teachers, so I know they know how to spell accelerator. Okay, I'm talking to educators. Okay, so I'm not going to worry about that. Learning Accelerator, .org, not .com. Forgive me on that. Okay, learningaccelerator.org. Okay, and you guys are very much a part of what we do. You write columns for us in our magazine. The new issue's out, okay? And if you want to look at it, Beth, it's at Equity. It's at ace-ed.org. I don't know if you're familiar with what we do, but we enjoy working with you and your team.
I have heard wonderful things, and I've gotten a chance to check it out.
Well, I'm going to say wonderful things back at them. They're all terrific, I got to tell you. You have a program, and I love this. It's called Hop, Skip, Leapfrog. All right, that's over at learningaccelerator.org. All right, and that's what we're going to focus on today because it explores the concrete ways schools and school districts, if I may, took the bull by the horns in the pandemic, and all these innovative practices happened, all right, all over the country. And you guys sort of, if I may, are acting as a centerpiece to bring that together. Would that be a good way to put it?
Definitely. We feel like the past year has been a year of unbelievable challenge for educators, education leaders, and families, but equally a year of incredible learning. And we wanted to be able to really acknowledge the ways that educators were working differently with students to meet their needs this year, and importantly, the ways that district teams kind of changed up the conditions that they were working in to better engage with educators, students, and families. And so that's really the purpose of the project, because there's tremendous learning that has happened, and it's important we recognize it if we expect to be able to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting. I had the president of AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, on yesterday. Her name is Kathy Carroll. Excuse me, it's my asthma. Kathy Carroll. All right, she's down in Blythewood, South Carolina. All right, hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. Sometimes it just catches up with me. Okay. I apologize for everybody for coughing on there. All right, Kathy's down in Blythewood, South Carolina. And I asked her what this year was like for her. She's a school librarian at the high school. And she said, I learned one thing this year, that if they ever say we can't do it, I know that we can. All right? And that's what's happened this past year. We've been stuck in education is bureaucratic. Okay? It moves slowly. Mm-hmm. It's a brontosaurus. All right? Yet we got hit with the pandemic now for a year and a half, 2 years, and we just were able to make it through and actually have kids learn. I don't agree with this term, learning loss, as much as everybody else does. I think there's more curriculum loss than learning loss, okay? But there were so many creative and solid things done over the past year and a half by educators, and I might add by students as well, okay? And we have to catalog those and put those together. So how's Hop, Skip, Leap, Frog work? That's my speech for today, Beth. Yeah. I'm going to leave the rest to you. Yeah.
Thank you. Right. No, I completely agree with your points. I think that, so as I mentioned, our goal was really to try to step back and reframe this past year explicitly using an asset orientation. Students, families, teachers, school teams, district teams, all really committed to working through the challenges that they experienced. I completely agree with you. We don't use the term learning loss
at
the Learning Accelerator. We despise it. We prefer actually the term unfinished learning.
I like that. That I can live with, not learning loss. Yeah.
What I like to do is actually put a little bit of a parenthesis around the un because, you know, there are a lot of skills and learning that our students and our adults undertook and mastered this year that we didn't expect they would master. And so how do we acknowledge that everyone might be in a different place than we expected to be now? And we have to actually figure out how to respond to those different places we are. But that does not mean that this year was one of learning loss. It just means we've learned different things. And potentially, we've always known that kids actually learn things in at different paces and in different places. And so it's really important that we acknowledge that as we head into the future. But to get a little bit back to the origins of the project, so we interviewed district teams from around 20 districts nationally, ranging from Chicago Public Schools, which as most know is a very large public urban school district, to Ector County, which is in Odessa, Texas, which is a much smaller rural district, to really just dig in and understand what we asked folks was to reflect on two things. One, what were the practice innovations they pursued to make learning more personalized, more focused on mastery, more holistically supporting this year? And two, what were the conditions that they might have had to shift around those practices to help them take root? And we just had very deep discussions with these teams and then followed up to kind of codify each of the strategies they mentioned in really actionable, concrete ways. So not just saying, oh, so one example I love to talk about is in Nashville, Tennessee, they quickly realized they had to reestablish connection with students, particularly because so many students were virtual. And so they mobilized over 5,600 adults throughout the system as what they called navigators who did weekly check-ins with every single child across Metro Nashville.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And had people checking in not just on academic readiness and like how's the tech working, but also on things like food insecurity or how families were coping. And then they used those check-ins as a way to get the district and school teams plugging in and getting each student the support that they needed to feel connected to an individual, but importantly, really re-engaged in learning. And that's the type of innovation that districts have undertaken this year. And I offer that because it's actually like it sounds like a pretty big leap, if you will, but we saw districts partnering with SpaceX to provide Wi-Fi to every single member of their community. We saw a school district. Isn't that amazing?
Great.
We saw a school district in Meriden, Connecticut.
I know that
barter,
district well. I know that
you know
district
well.
Mark's
well.
District, yeah.
Mark's incredible. He and his team are very entrepreneurial, and the community college in Meriden needed additional space for learning because that, you know, this year was a year of needing additional space, and they were able to negotiate with with the school district to use high schools after hour in exchange. 5 slots in every single community college class offered got offered to staff and students. And so they were able to take this moment and actually through partnership create college credit bearing opportunities for kids in their systems. These are not small things, but they were born out of the opportunity to really look at what kids and communities needed, using some of the new constraints as opportunities for design, and just really significantly making what we called hops, skips, and leaps towards approaches that better fit the needs of every kid. It doesn't mean that they didn't also struggle really significantly with the challenges imposed by the pandemic, but the creativity that these leaders brought to bear was incredible. And the points that now that the things they have in place really offer opportunities to keep accelerating forward and keep advancing forward rather than maybe retrenching back into kind of systems that weren't meeting the needs of students so well.
Yeah, you know, Mark Benigni, I want to say my good friend from Meriden is just a wonderful superintendent. I got to tell you, I'm glad you brought him up. You know, I have to ask you, as you go through these things and learn these, you said about at the beginning Chicago and Odessa, two very different districts, quite obviously. Okay, what they have in common during the pandemic? Did you see a commonality in there?
Yeah, so a couple of things we saw in common, I would say, my brain divides these kind of innovations into two categories. The first is the level of the student's learning, and the second is like kind of how district operates. So to start at the level of the student learning, what we saw really consistently across districts was, and I love this, there's a school district in Colorado, the leader said this, like a reorientation towards learning rather than teaching. So in this moment, what teachers across the U.S. discovered, that we couldn't just take our curriculum and like throw it online. We actually had to think about what was motivating students, what did they need, and how do we actually flex to that? And so we saw a lot of students getting much more flexible intervention time, often sometimes even working together across campuses because they were working on Zoom. We saw a lot of much more like effective use of learning management systems to support teachers and students in collaboration. Mm-hmm. We also saw teachers giving students, and this is true in Odessa as well as Chicago, students more opportunity for choice because they recognized that some of these traditional mechanisms of engagement and compliance don't work so well during a crisis and when students aren't in a classroom together. At the district level, we saw teams working with really consistently with much more agility. Nearly every superintendent we talked to said that they had developed systems for meeting weekly with members of their cabinet, with members of their unions, with other critical stakeholders to respond, to understand and respond to what they were learning. There was a lot more bi-directional communication that was happening in Odessa, Texas. For example, Scott Murray, who is the superintendent there, also figured out how to leverage Spanish radio, for example, and local media to bring together folks weekly, which at the beginning of the pandemic was about reopening. It was about COVID safety measures. And now it has morphed into ways of maintaining consistent connection with community to talk about learning. So his team recently, for example, had they instituted NWA map assessments to track student progress. They had the head of MAP come online and talk to families about what the test was, what it meant. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see the depth to which folks really engaged. The other thing we saw really consistently was recognizing teachers as learners too in this moment. And in the same ways we had to make more learning more targeted and relevant and flexible for kids, we actually saw lots and lots of districts do the same with professional learning, really trying to figure out which teachers needed what support, giving folks a lot of flexibility, bringing teachers together to work on problems that really mattered in this moment, and creating communities of practice that we can now use and build upon as we return to the coming year. these are things that we talk a lot about. You know, how do we foster collaboration? How do we get teachers really engaged in thinking about curriculum and working together and putting in place new strategies? Well, that happened this year.
You know, Beth, you're right, and I'm going to ask this is the oddest question you'll hear ever in your life, I think. All right, and the question is, everybody says the pandemic was horrible for education, but in reality, it made us see things, opened our eyes, and made us collaborate and work and all that. As you look at it, and I'm not talking about the horror of 595,000 dead and how many people suffered from all this, all right, and their families, et cetera. I'm not talking about that. But the pandemic opened our eyes, and we have to take advantage of that, all right? So the question is, generically, was the pandemic, do you think, good or bad? And with the context in which we're speaking, was it good or bad for education, K-12?
The way that we have been framing this moment is a lot of the problems that we've confronted in the last year during the pandemic, they were there before. We as a sector had been struggling. Yeah, we had been struggling to serve all students well. We have been persistently facing gaps in equity, gaps in access, gaps in engagement. There have been inconsistent resources applied to different schools. And frankly, schools have not been changing as quickly as we might have expected with the rest of, you know, like the, with other sectors, for example, that have benefited from technology to change how people are working. So what we see is this moment as a transformation moment where the tide went out. All these things that were normally below the surface that many of us working in education were aware of suddenly were apparent. And now we have a real opportunity to use what we saw so clearly in this last year as it related to the ways in which we weren't engaging students, the ways in which we were unprepared, the ways in which the systems that we had were not resilient. Now we have the opportunity to look at those things and say, not only do we have to fix these things, but we have some waypoints, and we've tested and we've learned a ton. If it takes the old adage, or I don't know if it's an adage, it might just be a lie, if it takes 21 days to build a habit, we had way more than 21 days to build many new habits and many new skills and many new mindsets. And frankly, shame on us if we don't put them to work. Now, I will say, so while I think overall the transformation opportunity is a good one, I do want to acknowledge the incredible burden that our educators and families and students have been carrying, and the fact that we have to give people some cover and some time, and we have to respond to the harm that we've all experienced. And in particular, our students who were least closest to opportunity prior to the pandemic have experienced even more heavily. We do need to acknowledge, you know, it's easy for me as a researcher to look and say, oh, why aren't we taking advantage of all these opportunities? It's important for all of us who aren't schools to take a moment and say, hey, we actually need to give folks a moment to breathe, to recover, to acknowledge that we are not out of this, and give everyone the supports they need to keep moving forward at the pace and the scale that is right for them and what their system is capable of. Because we push people too quickly to just get over it, if you will,
and we can't do that
at the same time. No, yeah, we're setting ourselves up to collapse. And so I think we have to be we need to bring the same level of empathy that we're bringing for our students in this moment to our educators and our leaders who have had a candidly heck of a year, a year and a half, as you put it.
Yeah, it's been pretty nuts. How do you think this all will affect teacher education, which is always lagging behind? I hate to say it, but it's true. They admit
no,
it to me.
No, it is.
Yeah, you know, for some reason I've never been able to figure out, but go ahead. Well, actually, I do know, but I'm not going to say. You go ahead.
So the fact that most of our teachers were not consistently using technology prior to the pandemic and hadn't been exposed to any of the pedagogy or the research, for example, behind remote and online learning, speaks to the fact that our education institutions hadn't ever thought that that would be something you need to prepare us for. Also, I mean, most of the school districts that we talk to who haven't built, for example, their own residency programs, most of the ones that are pursuing innovation oftentimes talk about the need to do significant untraining of folks who come out of more traditional programs. I think what we're seeing, we're going to see a couple of things. One is, you know, I think we're going to see, particularly with the influx of funding for tutoring, for additional, people-powered supports in schools, is the opportunity for lots of schools to actually, or school districts, I should say, this should not be at the feet of schools alone, to create partnerships that build better on-ramps to teaching, that offer people from their communities, ways to come into the profession that are supported, that are good for them as learners and good for the students they're working in, as in building of skills in a more gradual manner, where people are actually paid during their training process rather than taking on significant amounts of debt, where teachers are working in partnership together. One of the cool things that we saw in many districts was the advent of new structures for teaching. So teachers working on multi-age teams, for example, in second and third grade spans, or teachers working virtually. So in Cudahy, Wisconsin.
Website, Cudahy. I didn't know where that was. Thank you.
Yeah, so they're in Wisconsin, and they managed to actually be open for the entire year. But they, in the process of kind of setting up systems that would support safety and reduce transmission of the virus, what they had to do was put students into smaller cohorts. And what that meant is that, for example, their interventionists, so their reading specialists, for example, couldn't travel between classrooms as easily. And so what they ended up doing is having students join intervention circles together online. So you had a reading interventionist who was a specialist being able to work with multiple kids or more kids at a time across sites on shared skills. And that's actually something you're going to be bringing forward in Odessa. Superintendent Marie has brought in virtual coaches. He is in a part of the world where actually there's a significant teacher vacancy. And he recognized they would have to, they need to hire and create pipelines, and they have actually some unique partnerships with teacher prep organizations in that region. But he said, you know, I have to invest in building the expertise of my teaching force. We don't have these coaches here. Let's bring them in online. And that's actually something they're going to continue with as well. So I think one of my worries is we're going to take these funds for tutoring, and we're going to hire lots and lots of folks who are disconnected from schools and the curriculum, and we're going to kind of layer them, throw them in on top of, right, and around, versus saying, how do we use this as an opportunity to really support teachers to provide really effective tutoring and intervention as part of Tier 1 instruction and as part of the school day? And how do we bring these people in ways where they're really connected to teaching teams so that we're actually, what we're doing is coherent and supportive, as opposed to throwing additional resources on top of a system that's already working pretty hard and might not actually be organized effectively in this moment.
Yeah, it's so amazing what we have to do and what we are doing, and we learn from terrific superintendents like this. Okay, I'll say the words again, took the bull by the horns and made it work, okay? And I'm going to say what you said before. We knew all this prior to the pandemic, but we just kind of meandered along, okay? It's like that old cartoon of the dinosaur looking up in the sky and seeing the giant meteor hit Mexico City and then just keeps blumbling along, okay, until the atmosphere is gone, all right? Well, we have to take advantage of this moment. Okay, we can't just blumble along like we did before. This exposed everything, and we have to make it happen. So all that said, okay, learningaccelerator.org, your hop, skip, leapfrog website, all right, your project, all right, how do people access that, okay, and what's going to be there when they do, and how can they add to it if you want them to?
Yeah, so you can either go to learningaccelerator.org and click on our Educator Resources tab, and you'll see we have several different tools and guides, and Hop, Skip, Leapfrog is one of them. Or folks can actually go to hopskipleapfrog.org, and that'll also take them directly to the tool.
Yep. Know that. There you go.
Yeah, and then
that was easy.
Yes, easy. Hopskipleapfrog.org. We all know that reducing cognitive load is important. And what you'll find there, so what we did was we divided, there's sort of two main sections that we encourage folks to explore. One is all about practice shifts. So we looked at the different ways people made hop, skips, and leaps to make learning more more engaging in four areas. One, to make learning more targeted and relevant to individual students' needs, interests, strengths, and identities. Two, to make learning more actively engaging. Three, to increase students' social connection in the work, which we knew was so important prior to pandemic and has become even more important this year.
Yep.
And then finally, strategies that supported orientation towards growth, right, as opposed to just seat time. The second section of the site is all about condition shifts, so the ways in which districts changed how they were working around those practices to deepen and sustain them. And then the last section of the toolkit, which I actually think is probably the most important for leadership teams to take a look at, just offers some waypoints for teams to guide themselves through their own reflection and planning processes. Because I guarantee for every leadership team that's out there right now trying to figure out where to go next, if you look inside your system at your schools, if you talk to your teachers, if you talk to students and families, you will unearth so many interesting, promising practices and starting points that are worth exploring and doubling down on. And that's one thing that we hope people will take away is, yes, we talked to these 20 districts, but we didn't necessarily say we only want to talk to the districts that everyone already points to as super innovative. We wanted to talk to districts across the spectrum who are on their own journeys. And in every single conversation, even when superintendents started the calls with, wow, I'm so tired right now and I'm feeling really like we haven't made progress, even in those conversations, we unearthed so many fantastic ideas. In fact, the superintendent that started that that conversation that way, 5 minutes later, talked about how his schools had piloted family STEM nights and sent bags of materials home and had parents working with kids, with teachers doing makerspace projects online together. I mean, that's the type of, it sounds small, but those are the type of brilliant ideas that if people look up, they're everywhere. So what teams really should do is use a tool to explore, to get inspired, but importantly, use it as a way of starting their own reflective process and really thinking about as they move forward through this recovery process, how will they advance and what are those opportunities to either take things that have already begun to seed and water them and help them grow, or where might there be opportunity to take some of these great ideas from these districts nationally and try them out in their own context. And so with every single strategy, they'll find not only a description of what the district did, but hopefully with each one, they'll hear a little bit in the voice of the person who talked to us about what they did, why. In some cases, we actually have videos of leaders talking about the work, as well as actually artifacts and tools that said, okay, here's, for example, going back to Nashville, here's the guidebook that they trained navigators with. Here's actually the data system they used to track all the different needs students had. We have all of that on the site. We hope it'll, by being concrete, it'll be much more actionable for folks.
Hopskipleapfrog.org, part of learningaccelerator.org. It's a magnificent project, Beth, I got to tell you. And obviously, it's so timely for right now. And I'm going to say two things. You know, like we said, all right, it's all there in front of you. All right, it was all there before the pandemic. Okay, and the pandemic forced us to look at ourselves. Now, this pandemic, as what you just said, we're going to look deeper at ourselves and see that all this innovation is there. Let's just dig for it together. Okay, and make it happen and not reinvent the wheel. Look at what other districts, same as you, whoever you might be, are doing. Okay, you're not in this alone. It's good stuff, Beth, I got to tell you. My fellow Mainer, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me and for the work you're doing. I appreciate it.
Well, and back at you for that. You guys are terrific. Okay, so thank you, and enjoy enjoy Old Town down on the harbor there. I got to tell you, going to be a nice summer.
Will do. I'm looking forward to exploring with my 5 and 7 year old. There's a lot to check
enjoy.
Out.
Enjoy, absolutely. Okay, take care, Beth. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's Beth Rabbit. She's the CEO of learningaccelerator.org. Check it out. Good stuff. They write for us in our magazine. New issue up at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.